Well, greetings, everybody, and welcome to Friday at Basic Gospel with Bob Christopher. I'm Bob Davis, and we're glad you're with us today. The phone lines are open for you right now, and we'll welcome your calls at 844-322-2742 with Bible questions, or if you have personal issues you'd like to discuss, this is your best opportunity to call straight through 844-322-2742. But do it right now, because it's Basic Gospel, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. What does it take to please the Lord? That's been our topic all week, and certainly we would love for you to chime in on this topic as well. What are some things that you have done in your life to try to please the Lord? When did you realize that you were actually pleasing to the Lord? Or have you ever gotten there? Have you arrived? I mean, some people may think it's this way out there, but they keep striving. They keep struggling. They keep doing everything that they know to do. But the Word of God gives us a completely different story. And in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 5 and 6, we read this: "In love, He, God, predestined us for adoption to Himself as sons through Jesus Christ." So this subject of predestination is a hotly contested, a hotly debated subject, but here it's very clear: God predestined us for adoption to Himself. So what did He predestine? That we would be adopted into the family of God as sons through Jesus Christ. So when we come to faith, that's what happens. That which God predestined comes about. So we're adopted into the family of God according to the purpose of His will, to the praise of His glorious grace. So this is a gift of grace. So we're born again into the family of God. We're adopted into the family of God. All of that speaks volumes to us, saying, hey, you belong. You're a part. You're connected to the one true God. So that's a gift of grace with which He has blessed or accepted us in the Beloved. So here's a statement right here that says God is pleased with you. He's blessed you. He's accepted you in the Beloved. Now, this word that is translated blessed or accepted is a fantastic word. The root of it is charis, which is grace. Yeah. So it means to grace, it means to highly honor or greatly favor. This was a word that Luke used to describe Mary, that Mary was highly favored by God, and she was picked to be the one to carry Jesus. So she was highly favored, and in that same vein, through the grace of God, the fact that we've been adopted as sons through Jesus Christ, we're highly favored. We are highly honored because of the grace of God. Now, what does that tell us? It tells us this, that God is pleased with us.
Yes.
Why? Because we are in Christ Jesus. So that's really the beginning point. That's where we start. And then when we recognize this, then our actions can follow suit. I love how Paul put this in Ephesians chapter 5. It says, "We were once darkness, but now we are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light." That just makes sense. Yeah. It's just a reflection of who we are. And that's what God is saying in the New Testament when He speaks of us pleasing Him or pleasing the Lord. It pleases the Lord when we walk as children of light, as who we really are in Christ Jesus.
Yes,
well,
indeed.
We hope this subject has been encouraging to you. We have all kinds of resources that can help you grow in this understanding of who you are in Christ at basicgospel.net, through our YouTube channel and all of those sort of things. So take advantage of those and come to the conclusion and grow in your confidence that because you are in Christ, you are pleasing to God Almighty.
Absolutely. Great thoughts, Bob. Thank you for sharing. And friends, thank you for being with us for this edition of Basic Gospel. We want to hear from you at 844-322-2742. That's good in the U.S. and Canada. It's also good in Daytona Beach, Florida, by the way. 844-322-2742. And Bob, I tell you what, let's do. Let's go ahead and go to Daytona Beach. What do you think?
Well, let's do it. Christina, you are on the air. Welcome to Basic Gospel.
Hey, Christina.
Hi, guys. How are you guys?
We're doing well.
Yeah.
Good. I'm so glad that I'm with both of you. I had such a great time with both of you at the conference. And I'm calling because I'd like some biblical references, if possible, for an issue that just came up this past week, which was I'm a registered nurse, and but I am no longer clinical. I actually work at home and doing various things for insurance companies and Medicare and Medicaid. And this past Tuesday, my company, which is a government contractor, was told by the current administration that all the employees must be vaccinated, otherwise you'll lose the business. And which was very shocking to most of everybody, because most people are remote and work from home. And so now what I am struggling with, because I'm not vaccinated, I've already had COVID, and I wasn't planning on getting vaccinated. And there is an option for a religious exemption. And I'm actually toying with that idea, although I'm struggling on whether or not it's really a religious exemption, whether God really cares or not if people get vaccines, or I'm just, this is my personal preference. So I guess what I'm asking is there anything in the Word of God that you can point me to help me kind of make this choice? It's been very stressful for me this week to think about that. I'm being forced to do something that I don't want to do, but if this is what I need to do, then I will do it, because of course I need my job. But also, if God doesn't care, like I want to go into the Word of God and see how he speaks to me, because I'm getting some feelings on it, but I'm not sure where they're coming from, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
So I'm wondering if you can help me out there.
Well, I said, as far as companies that are mandating that as a thing for employment, they do have exceptions. There's a religious exemption. There's a health exemption.
Right.
And, most companies are going to be, I think, pretty quick to approve those. That's their management mm-hmm. decision and that sort of thing. I know those who have been applying for religious exemptions have been doing so on the basis of, where were aborted fetuses used in the testing or in the making of these vaccines. And they are building a case for the religious exemption on a pro-life position.
Right.
So if that's something that you want to take a stand on, that's a path to take as far as
right.
the religious exemption is concerned. There may be other things that you want to pursue as well. I know there are some people. I think there's a polyethanol something that is labeled PEG. And a lot mm-hmm. of people are allergic to that, so it's not to their benefit to take the vaccine. So there mm-hmm. are some legitimate religious reasons. There are some legitimate health reasons for people not to do that. So explore those, and if you come to the point and say, hey, I'm just not going to make a big deal of this and just going to do what the company says, that's fine too. So, mm-hmm. you're it seems to be a rock and a hard place, but, on what to do, but I think, God is going to give you the wisdom on how to handle it.
Yeah. I mean, you know, some people in the Christian circles are saying, you know, God saying, you know, your body is your temple and all this. And it's like, I agree with that. Yes, you know, but I don't recall reading anything in the Bible that says anything that about something like this. So I said, well, let me call the experts and see.
Well, I don't know about that. I mean, this is this is kind of a new issue. Yeah. You know, uncharted waters, right, so to speak. But right. You know, there's the freedom deal. You don't want to be mandated to do something that you don't want to do, and that's right. It's important to recognize that. I mean, there's a lot of people that say that's just a ridiculous position, but it's not ridiculous. That is the backbone of our country. I mean, we fought against the tyranny of Great Britain way back when, won the Revolutionary War, won our case, so to speak, so that we could be free, so that we could exercise our beliefs, our choices, and not have a government dictating to us that we can't. So freedom is the backbone of this country. It's what this great experiment called the United States of America is all about. Amen. So we should never look at that in a negative light. We should herald that. We should lift that up and say, yes, we need the freedom to choose. But I think, you know, as far as a believer in Christ, you know, you're free in Christ, and you let that freedom reign in this particular situation. And if you, I think you're free to go either way.
Right. I know. And you hit the nail on the head. I mean, I feel so free because of my, you know, my knowledge of what happened on the cross, and I'm lucky. I feel so free. And this has absolutely like rocked my world in a way that as an American citizen, I never imagined would happen ever. And, you know, I mean, first it's this vaccine, what's it going to be next, you know? And so I feel so strongly about not complying because of such, you know, I just can't believe this is America.
That's true.
I was struggling with the fact that, you know, is this my personal preference, or can I take a religious exemption and really fight that cause and not have, like, I struggled with, would God frown on that because he doesn't care whether I get it or not. He just wants me to be free. I mean, I'm struggling. I'm just struggling with, I don't want to use God, in other words.
Well, here's how I handle those things. I mean, here's what it gets back to ultimately. And it's simply this phrase, for the sake of the gospel. The gospel is the most important thing, right? It's the message that saves. It has the power of God unto salvation. I want to make choices that are going to enable me to continue proclaiming this good news, to being able to spread the word about Jesus. You know, live a quiet life. You see in Timothy where it says, pray for your leaders. Those sort of things, kind of the implication there is so that we can continue doing what God has called us to do, and that's being the body of Christ and sharing the good news with a lost and dying world that Jesus is alive and that there's life available through faith in him. So it really gets down to that, I think, as far as believers are concerned. What's the path forward that is going to be for the sake of the gospel that keeps me in step with the gospel of Jesus Christ? So I don't want to do something because somebody's saying, in order for you to be a good Christian, you need to go down this path or you need to go down that path. Well, then you're becoming a man pleaser and not really, you know, you're just doing what they're telling you to do. So I think it's up to us to kind of rise above that and say, Lord, what would you have me do as far as this is related for the sake of the gospel?
That is so good. That is so, it really is that. It's like, I have to make choices that for me, keep me and God and Jesus.
That's right.
The most important thing in the world.
Absolutely.
And nothing else.
Absolutely.
And the thing, and you know why that is, Bob? Because everything falls into place when I do that.
Yeah, it's Paul. You know? It's Paul's philosophy that he laid out in his letter to the Philippians, and it gets down to this simple phrase, and it's a verse: "For me to live is Christ." That's what it gets down to.
All right.
Okay.
Yes. Okay. That's good.
All right.
Thank you.
You're welcome, Christina.
Thank you, guys.
All
I
right.
Really appreciate it.
Happy Friday to you.
Yes, indeed.
Thanks
Absolutely
for your call.
844-322-2742. We have a line open for you right now. We'd love to hear from you again. 844-322-2742. And friends, thanks for all you do to support the message of grace and life in Jesus Christ through Basic Gospel. And we want to say a heartfelt thank you. And with your gift today, we want to demonstrate that thanks by sending you a copy of Andrew's book. It's a highly insightful and witty book called God Without Religion. Donate now or anytime at basicgospel.net. And as you make that gift, be sure to request your copy of God Without Religion. I know you're going to enjoy that that book, God Without Religion by Andrew Farley. Once again, 844-322-2742. We'd love for you to fill up those lines right now. In the meantime, Bob, a question from Austin. Who is it that determines that writing is inspired by God? Why was the canon changed so much, and why should we accept the current Protestant canon when the Catholic and Orthodox churches include more books? Can writing by the Holy Spirit-filled Christians no longer be inspired by God? Thank you for all your insight and patience. That's from Austin.
Well, I mean, there's inspiration. We can be inspired by all sorts of things, but then there's the godly inspiration. God breathed, and that's when we talk about inspiration as far as the Word of God is concerned. We are talking about something that is God breathed, men that were moved along by the Spirit of God to write these things down. So the Bible is God's story, God's testimony concerning Jesus. So that's the story. And the books that we have assembled, the 66 books, the 39 in the Old Testament, the 27 in the New Testament, all combined tell that single story. You can go from chapter to chapter in the Old Testament and then in the New, and you see it all connects together. And it's a beautiful, beautiful story. And in that, there's the power of salvation. So as Paul wrote to Timothy, he says, you've known the Scripture, those things that can enable you to experience salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. And then he says, all of God's word has been God breathed.
Right.
So, that's what it's there for, to inspire us, to move us to respond to the grace of God through faith. That's what the Word of God does. And so these books that are assembled, that's what they do. The things that are in the Catholic Bible and all of that, those are history books that kind of tell the story of Israel between the time of Malachi, around 400 years before Christ, during that 400 years, that tells what happened to the people of Israel. And it gives you a lot of insight as to the world that Jesus came into at the time that he was born into this world. It gives you some insight about the Pharisees and the Sadducees and all of that, and how all of that came about. It tells you a little bit of the story of how they came back to Israel. Looks at that, reads it, and recognizes that it's just history. It doesn't really add to the story of Jesus as these books do. So there is great evidence out there that tells us that this book is reliable, that we can trust it, that it is authoritative, and that all the things that were left out of it were left out of it for a reason, because they were not God-breathed as these books were.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Bob, we had this this call from, we have a call on the screen. Go ahead, Bob.
Carrie, you're on the line.
Hi, good afternoon, and thank you for taking my call. I was calling in reference to the coronavirus and the religious exemption. So I kind of am a little, I vacillate, you know, back and forth as to biblical evidence of not getting the virus versus taking the virus. So what's your thoughts on it? I hear so many different things. And, you know, some of the, you know, like, you know, this is not being mandated, people are being mandated, but we get mandated as American citizens for things simply like we have to wear seatbelts. So do we say, well, I'm not going to wear a seatbelt because I don't want to and I can claim religious exemption? There are many laws that we are mandated that we freely follow. So how can we provide evidence that the Bible says that we don't have to take it and use that as an exemption?
Well, Carrie, I think the main reason that people would claim the religious exemption is a pro-life stance. I mean, the Bible is pro-life. So these vaccines, it's been shown that the companies either in testing have used materials from aborted fetuses. And they certainly, you know, it wasn't an accident. They were aborted for this reason, for scientific experimentation. And so they've either used it in the testing of it, or they've used it to actually make their vaccine itself. And so from a pro-life vantage point, many people are claiming a religious exemption, that they do not want to take something that comes from that. So that's their stance, that's their position, and I think the Bible certainly supports that. If that's a direction that you want to take, you know, others are saying, "Hey, I'm going to take it just out of love for my fellow man." So there's different viewpoints from a Christian standpoint, and I would just say to you, Carrie, let the Spirit of God inform your mind and bring you to a decision where you can make and do it with a good conscience. Okay.
I appreciate you so much. Thank you.
You're welcome, Carrie. Thanks for your call. God bless.
Well, friends, that's it for another week here at Basic Gospel. Over the weekend, if you have a question about the Christian life or need input for an issue you're facing, maybe a vaccine issue, we've covered that pretty thoroughly, however, well, you can give us a call at 844-322-2742. And that number, you can record a voicemail, and we'll give you a response on the Basic Gospel program. Again, that's 844-322-2742. Also, be sure to join Bob Christopher online Sunday morning for Sunday Morning Live at 9:30 Central. That's every Sunday morning. You can link to either Facebook or YouTube at the top of our homepage, basicgospel.net, and join Bob for Sunday Morning Live, as I said, every Sunday morning at 9:30 Central Time. Well, now for Bob Christopher and the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis, wishing you all a great weekend in and because of the Lord Jesus Christ, and inviting you to join us again on Monday for another edition of Basic Gospel. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.